Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from Nicholson, McNamara, Smith & Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors. Dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. Information at 812-473-7336. From the banks of the Ohio River in Evansville, Indiana, this is Red Blue Hoops with fanatical Red host Chad Payton and obsessive Blue host Evan Beck.
All right, welcome everyone to the third season of the award-winning Red Blue Hoops here on your WNIN 88.3. Give us a call on the Red Blue Hotline at 812-426-7400. Or tweet us at Red Blue Hoops. I am Evan Beck, your voice for the Kentucky Wildcats. And joining me tonight as the voice for the Indiana Hoosiers is Chad Payton. Chad, welcome to tonight's show.
Evan, Walker, Sam, Mr. Berger, happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday.
Oh, yeah. I'm sweating a little bit right now, though.
Hey, folks, for our listeners, Indiana fans obviously know this information, but Kentucky fans may not. But Indiana is tipping off as we speak against their in-state rival, the Purdue Boilermakers. Mm-hmm. So Chad may be a little bit despondent, and we're going to be keeping an eye on the game.
Absolutely.
We're going to get it on the Watch ESPN app here on the iPad in the studio.
It is a must-win.
It's a must-win for the Hoosiers.
Must-win.
But I tell you what, folks, Chad and I were talking. We have so much information.
Time got away there, didn't
we? We almost missed the opening of the show. Literally, we were so engrossed into a conversation about the Kentucky Kentucky Wildcats that we almost missed the beginning of the show. But
it
folks,
did. Incredible.
Again, thanks for tuning in. I don't know how many Indiana fans are listening right now. We hope there are some. Indiana's down two right now. They just hit a three. It's 7-5.
Ooh, at the Purdue's covering right now.
16:40 mark here. We've got anyway. There has been a lot of action since last week's show. Some of it really bad for Kentucky. I mean, terrible. Kentucky is in a downward spiral statistically, and you can see it in their performance on the court. And then Indiana has only had one game since last week.
One game.
So I'll get you going on your first game, and I'll keep an eye on the game here for Purdue.
Yeah, so Indiana played at Wisconsin last Sunday as a noon tip. Tough game. Wisconsin always plays well up there. They're the Golden State Warriors. I laugh about this, but the Golden State Warriors would be three-point dogs at Wisconsin. I mean, just ridiculous. As far as some team things, the defense was a lot better, and I thought that Juwan Morgan, he looked healthy, and I think he makes a difference on defense. Still turned the ball over 15 times, which is at Wisconsin, you're going to struggle with that situation. But one thing that classic Wisconsin, get this, Evan, Walker, listen to this stat. Free throws attempted, Wisconsin 31, Indiana 12. Think you're going to win games like that on the road?
Wow. That's typical. At the Kohl Center?
K-O-H-L,
Kohl Center? Is that
yeah,
right?
Kohl Center.
That's typical statistics right there for Wisconsin.
It is. So, IU, a couple highlights. Newkirk played well, unbelievably. That dude has scored 47 points his last two games, so he's taking a lot of heat, but he's playing well. 65-60 loss at Wisconsin. I didn't feel too bad about it. They hopefully got a little bit of momentum to play Purdue tonight, and as I look at it right now, 13-10 Purdue, that's not a bad start.
So. No, I'll tell you what, Newkirk was probably tired of taking so much grief from the IU fan base. I mean, he was getting lit up on Twitter.
He was from me a few times, actually.
But these last two games, I think he's been putting in all Big Ten performances.
He has. What's interesting is if he can – you'd think he would get some confidence from that. And with Blackman coming back, maybe instead of turning the ball over and he's just going to take – open shots and maybe make those. Could build some depth, maybe.
Absolutely. You know, I was listening. I do so much homework for this show from the
Indiana. Off-season training.
I was listening to Don Fisher, who is your play-by-play guy.
He is awesome.
And during the Wisconsin game, and at the end of the game, you guys played tough, obviously, and it came down to the end.
We did.
But he was talking about Newkirk. He was talking about, in Don Fisher's opinion, that he's been the hardest working kid in the past month at putting in extra time in the gym.
Yeah, good for him. It's showing a little bit.
Yeah, so that is good for him. Kid's developing his game up there.
Oh, one more thing on Crean almost got a technical foul. When have you ever heard of that? I mean, he actually got.
Does he not get technicals?
Oh no!
Really?
He's soft.
He's soft.
He's soft on that stuff. He's over there clapping at the officials instead of on them. But he almost—that's how bad the officiating was at Wisconsin.
Wow.
Crean almost got a technical foul. So
that's amazing.
Interesting.
So you guys, where do you currently stand in the Big Ten going into the night's game?
We're like eighth in the Big Ten.
Eighth. What's your
five
record?
5-6.
5-6.
15-9 overall.
Sub .500 in the conference.
Uh huh.
All right. Fantastic. Well. Interesting for Indiana at Wisconsin. It always is a tough place to play. And
it is.
Kentucky was also on the road this past Saturday down in Gainesville.
Oof.
The Swamp, the O'Connell Center that's been renovated. Looked pretty good.
It did look good on TV. I saw that too.
Once again, College Game Day from ESPN was in town for the Kentucky game. Atmosphere was lit, as the kids say today.
Mm-hmm.
And Kentucky did not show up at all.
Kentucky was not lit.
No, they were not. They were dim. from the word go. Check some of this out, folks. Kentucky lost by 22. They made a little bit of a run in the early second half, cut it to like 4 or 5, and then after that, Florida just stomped on them. Kentucky was out-rebounded by a margin.
Oh.
That's the most since 1990. When we were on probation and our tallest player was 6'7".
Wow.
Richie
Farmer
about,
out there getting rebounds?
Richie.
He would have been on that team, right?
Yeah, yeah,
they
definitely.
Had Unforgettables.
Yeah, it's the beginning of the Unforgettables. And we were really shorthanded. And Kentucky got out-rebounded by Florida like 54-28 or something. It was just
that's
complete
insane.
That's just an effort thing. From what I was hearing, from some people that were at the game watching warm-ups, I was getting some texts from down in Gainesville that we looked tired in warmups. Now, No, definitely not Calipari. He never says this, but maybe a little bit of an asterisk there based on their effort. You know, Kentucky's team had been really ill for the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, stuff's going around.
In fact, every single player except three had either had mono or the stomach flu or a combination of both sometime during that time frame. So, did that contribute? Maybe. I don't know. But it's the worst loss for Kentucky while being ranked in the top 10 since 1992. So that puts in perspective how unusual of an occurrence it was for us to get beat that badly at Florida. So that was a complete just dump the game tape. Let's not even watch it. Let's get on the take a shower, get on the plane, tuck your tail, and get back to Lexington type game. So
I got to ask you about something, Nolan.
Fire away.
Explain, because I want you to tell the story here on this. We're talking off air. Monk and Briscoe kind of laughing on the sidelines. I gave them some heat on that.
Yeah.
I'm like, you guys are getting pounded. You guys are down 22 and having too much fun. But
so this is late in the game. This is when Calipari has decided to throw in the towel, and he took out his big three of Bam, Monk, and Fox. And the camera pans over to the Kentucky bench, and at that moment, Malik Monk, right square in the center of the TV screen, was laughing and smiling. And I looked at my wife, Allison, and said, this will go viral, and I'm not happy about it at all. But thank goodness there was a backstory to why he was smiling and laughing. It was his birthday that day, and the Florida fan base were kind of doing a mock happy birthday sing to him. And he chuckled, and you know what? Calipari used it as a learning tool and said, listen, at Kentucky, you're always on TV. Hey, folks, Indiana just tied the game up at 15 apiece.
That was a good move. Newkirk, Big Ten.
Newkirk's carrying your team now.
All
you guys,
Big Ten, baby.
Okay, let me ask you a question, Indiana fans. Are you taking back all the trash you threw on Newkirk's back so far this season?
Negative, Ghost Rider.
Hey, I think we have a phone line lit up here. Do we have Shooter on the line?
No way. Already?
Yeah, it's early, guys. It's early. Good evening, Mr. Farmer and UA Blob from Indiana. Thank you for your guys'
Shooter.
It's Uwe. It's Uwe Blob Shooter.
Hey, Shooter.
Uwe Blob,
hey,
UA Blob.
Shooter, before
don't,
hey,
don't
Shooter.
On that one.
Shooter, before you get going, give us your background. Like, what's your story? Where are you from?
From the backwoods here, Southern Indiana. Long time Indiana basketball fan. Been watching every game since been about 8, so it's about 30 years. Seen them come and go from, you know, the general to that Mike Davis character to Kelvin make a phone call Samson, and then now we're up to Tom. I sure do like to clap a lot, Crean. So
got a nickname for everybody.
I do. And then, you know, I wanted to touch base on a couple of things here, and I've got the game DVR'd, and I'm going to go down there and scream at the TV. But I wanted to give you a quick call. Kentucky fans just need to calm down. This team's young. At least you guys are making the tournament.
He said that last week.
You know, I mean,
he's helping you. He believes.
They're going to find a way. They're young, super talented. You know, I'm not saying they're going to make the Final Four, but they'll at least be a team that you probably don't want to see in your bracket early on in the tournament.
No, Shooter, I agree with you. In fact, I got some comments coming up later in the show that will support your statement there. Appreciate that.
So I just, you know, you're going at Florida. Kids are totally unprepared. They're all five-star kids. And like Calipari said, everybody thinks they have to get theirs before they won't pass the bowl. So, but that's about all I want to talk about Kentucky before I get sick to my stomach. The next thing I wanted to say is I was going to come after Joe Hillman over there is who'd have thought that Tom Crean's career would rest upon a broken JBJ and a freshman named Ron Davis from Colorado. Because if those two don't show up tonight, I think if Indiana loses this game, they're not going to make the tournament because it's a home game.
Yeah.
Their ranked rival.
Yeah.
I think this is the end of the Crean saga. If they lose today, I don't think they make the tournament, and I think he's gone. I think we give him $1 million in July, and we tell him goodbye.
Does Fred Glass have the stomach to do that?
Yeah, I think Glass is gone, too, in my personal opinion.
Ooh. Shooter's starting some rumors here.
Well, you have to look at what happened with the football coach making kids play when they're hurt, made two bowl appearances. You're going to push him out for the defensive coordinator. And, you know, just the fan base is just so irate being stuck with mediocrity. You beat Kansas. You beat North Carolina. You lose to Fort Wayne. And everybody wants to point to the injuries, guys. And this team was traveling downhill before they were injured. Too much talent. We spent the most on recruiting in Big Ten, and you can't get one Indiana kid. I was at the Castle game the other day. There's a 6'10" kid named Jack Nungy who's going to Iowa.
Hey, we did get Grant Gilon last year, too. That was another guy that you didn't think about.
What about that Romeo Langford from New Albany?
He's not going to Indiana.
You guys have no chance with Romeo Langford.
Yeah.
Zero chance.
We have these kids here in our state, and we can't get them. We're too busy chasing three-star forwards from Missouri.
From what I understand, and someone, our listeners, if I'm incorrect, please call in and let us know or tweet us at Red Blue Hoops. But from what I understand, Indiana did not even give Nungy a look.
I thought they did. I thought they took a visit up there. Okay.
Walker, our intern, says a long story, but I was told since I was at the game with you last week that wasn't happening. And I tell you what, folks, you got a 6'10" kid that has this frame that when he matures, you saw
he's
him.
Got a big frame on him. He does.
The kid can shoot the basketball.
He can.
Can you
he
not
fits
find
into
this?
Tom Crean's
I know.
Play. I mean
you got Thomas Bryant there jacking up threes all the time.
For sure.
Yeah, so anyway,
I don't know, real quick, and I'm going to get off here, guys. One thing I was thinking about, this could be the end of the Crean era here, you know, if they lose this game.
I don't see
them making a tournament with another home loss. I mean, one can hope, right?
You can hope. That's right. You're right.
One thing, you look around and you see, right, and you see all these coaches, you wonder who you get. And at this point in time, you're talking about Newkirk, you know, the shot doctor, you hear all these things and all these injuries and everything. But the thing I want to know is like, when are we going to get back to what Indiana basketball is about? Because, you know, you talk about the Wisconsin loss. Oh, we're injured. That's great. He gets up around the press conference, talks about grit, determination.
We did play hard in that game, Shooter.
No, Wisconsin had a horrible shooting night. That's exactly what that was.
Now you're letting them off the hook here.
No, because this is true. If you look, Wisconsin missed a bunch of open shots there, Mr. Hillman. And what's great about that is, what's great about that is, you know, when push came to shove, they did take 31 free throws to our 12 is because we let them in the lane because we can't body anybody up. We can't get up on anybody on defense. We just allow them to blow right by us.
All right, Shooter. Hey.
Well, hey, good night, guys.
Yep.
See you guys next Thursday. Hopefully Indiana pulls off a miracle, but if not, maybe this will be the end of Tom Crean.
Shooter, thanks a lot for the call, man.
Hey, no problem. You guys have a good night.
Take care,
see
Shooter.
You. Thank you.
Man, Shooter is absolutely all-American call.
He's pretty strong.
From the backwoods of Southern Indiana.
Yeah, does his homework. I love that.
Hey, the hotline is lighting up, folks, 812-426-7400 or tweet.
At Red Blue Hoops.
We're now going back to the phone lines. Lance from Atlanta, go ahead. You're on Red Blue Hoops.
Hey, guys, love Shooter. He's a solid guy. He's an Indiana fan. I love the guy. I'd like to meet him, have a beer with him.
There you go.
I'm Evan's older brother, live in Atlanta. Got a lot to talk about, but I'll start off with the most recent Duke signee, Wendell Carter, 6'9", 260. McDonald's All-American five-star, plays on my plays on a rival team. My son's a sophomore. He plays basketball here at Lovett. And they played Wendell's team three times. As it just turns out, we played him in the regional semifinals last night. And Wendell, of course, throwing elbows, not really putting out. But he's probably coming into Duke, going to be my most hated Duke player of all time.
Over Leitner.
Yeah, there's
strong.
A long list there.
Yeah, that's right. It's saying a lot. But one quick story about Wendell. They were in our gym playing us in the final season game, regular season game, and his team was up 20 points. He's having a good game, but the police had to come in and escort his mother and his aunt out of the gym.
That's incredible.
How behaved they are.
Yeah.
They were sitting behind our bench, berating our coaches and berating our players to the point where they had to be escorted out of the gym. That's
wow.
A mother and an aunt. So Wendell Carter, Duke signee, Kentucky, I think recruited him early on and then kind of passed on him late. But
yeah.
It might have been a good thing.
So, Lance, what's your assessment of the Cats right now?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny because I've been thinking a lot about it. And I will say this, Cal has some tendencies in his coaching philosophy that I've noticed over the years. I first picked up on it when we were at the SEC tournament in Cal's second year, I think Brandon Knight's team. And we were watching Kentucky play Florida in the finals of the SEC tournament. And I noticed they were playing very solid positional defense. They weren't leaving their feet. And they were completely dominating the defensive glass.
Yeah.
Now, that's completely different than what they're doing now.
Absolutely.
I mean, right now their guards are way out on the floor. They're picking up the other team's guards at 30, 35 feet. We're out of position, and it puts a lot of pressure on our bigs as the other teams are able to get penetration deep into the paint, and our bigs like Bam Adebayo have to rotate over to try to stop the penetration, which leads to foul trouble, limited minutes, and also
poor rebounding position. We get dunked on the weak side a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, we're getting crushed. And I think someone mentioned that the UK-Florida rebounding deficit was 54-28. That's
yeah.
not going to work.
That's incredible.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, man.
So I think what you'll see is, as time goes on, as we approach March, he'll tighten that defense up, bring those guys back more toward the goal to shut down the penetration lanes, if you will,
sure.
and put our players in better defensive position to rebound the basketball.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I
we'll
love
see.
It.
We'll see. That's kind of what we've noticed over the years. But, yeah. You know, someone had mentioned that Bam was overrated. Uh-oh. I think Evan and I broke it down today.
Yeah.
He's only playing 27 minutes a game.
Yeah.
And what was the numbers, Evan, 15 and 7?
Yeah, in fact, I want to hit into that really hard in the next segment, Lance. If you'll stay tuned in, I'll get into those stats. We're getting ready to go to break in about 40 seconds, so stay tuned in. We'll discuss Bam's overrated tag.
So you Bex are in tune.
We man. Are.
Yeah.
Lance,
hey, great show. I'll hang up and listen.
I appreciate it very much.
Thanks, Lance.
Again, folks, we really appreciate the support and listening. We've had an Indiana caller and a Kentucky caller.
Pretty rowdy so far.
Shooter is dedicated. Love it. Hey, we'll go to Kim Payton real quick. Kim, go ahead.
How you guys doing?
We're doing well. How are you?
Well, pretty good. I just wanted to say, you know, you're talking about that statue coming back in.
That's right. Did you find it?
No, but we're wanting to get rid of ours. I got my husband the kids got him a Notre Dame and IU rock for our front yard for his birthday last
year. Yeah, the kids is in me. I was part of that.
Yeah, that would be you, Angie, and Tiffany.
That's right.
And ever since we got that darn thing, we have been on a skid, so we're wanting to get rid of it.
Take a hammer to that rock, then take the pebbles and throw it in the lake.
It looks pretty nice lit up at night, but it's like a bad omen or something.
If only it was that easy, just
if
to
only
tear
that
the
easy.
Rock up and go to the Final Four, you know? Find That's the right. statue
yeah,
and go to the Final Four.
We've been putting a sheet over it like they do on flowers so it don't ruin them when it gets cold out.
That's pretty good.
So you guys have a great weekend.
Hey, thanks for calling in, Mom. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Tell you what, folks, we're going to go to our first break. Give us a call, 812-426-7400, or tweet
at Red Blue Hoops.
Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
for Red Blue Hoops comes from Nicholson, McNamara, Smith & Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors. Dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. Information at 812-473-7336.
Folks, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops. That's Chad Payton on the blues guitar. We got Berger on the bass and Sam on the drums. We're working on Walker on the harmonica for the future.
Incredible
shows.
Band.
It's awesome. Since last weekend's debacle in Florida, we had a group text flying around, and one of our group text members from Owensboro, we'll call him Tom for the sake of the story, sent out a text, kind of gave a quick assessment of each player. Each starter, I guess, for Kentucky, and he listed as Bam Adebayo as being overrated. Mm. And it made me sit back and think. You know, we talk about Chad on the show. Let's talk about things that make you think or make you want to talk.
Sure.
And that made me want to think about that. So is Bam overrated? Well, you have to sit back and think. The rating that they come in with is based on their position in their high school recruiting class. Okay?
Right.
It's their individual class, how they're ranked against their peers of that graduation year. So Bam on Rivals ranking system was the number 7 senior, 5-star, but he was the 3rd ranked forward behind Jason Tatum and Harry Giles, both of which that went to Duke.
Yes.
There's also Josh Jackson that's at Kansas.
Nice player.
But he was listed as a guard.
I was going to say, yeah.
So anyway, comes in number 7, 3rd best forward. So I picked 2 players from the past that I felt would be good data points to compare Bam's freshman season statistics against. I picked Tim Duncan, arguably either the 1st or 2nd greatest power forward in basketball history.
Absolutely.
Tim Duncan. I also selected Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis is the most decorated single season player in UK history.
Incredible.
So are those 2 good players to compare Bam to?
Yes.
Okay.
Just a little bit.
So folks, let's check this out. Bam Adebayo plays 27 minutes a game, averages 7 rebounds a game, and just a hair under 13 points a game. So let's say 13-7 in 27 minutes.
Sure.
As a freshman.
Sure.
Tim Duncan as a freshman played 30 minutes a game, averaged 9 points a game, and just under 10 rebounds a game. So Bam has so far had a better freshman season than Tim Duncan, playing less minutes.
Right.
Anthony Davis averaged 32 minutes a game, 14 points and 10 rebounds per game. So historically, Bam statistically is holding his own against Tim Duncan and Anthony Davis. Different teams, obviously, different requirements for each player and what they're doing on those teams. But one thing that's been Bam's weakness, he gets in foul trouble. Now, some of that's his fault. Some of that is the perimeter defense being so porous that
he's got
Lance
help
talked
and,
about. He's
yeah.
He's getting these offside defensive fouls. Then also, Bam has gotten what I call shower fouls. He can stand in a shower and get a foul called on him.
He's so big. It's weird.
So
yeah.
Anyway, I can't agree that he's overrated at this point in time. I think we touched on this in previous shows. We, as UK fans, we tend to forget these kids are freshmen. We've been spoiled with some of their success in their freshman seasons. Anthony Davis, John Wall.
That's right.
Jamal Murray, so on and so forth. So it goes on and on. So anyway, just a little perspective there about Bam.
He takes heat, too, because of what you said, and he's not – a beast on defense at the rim, blocking shots and rebounding. And part of it because, unfairly, he has to overhelp sometimes.
Yep.
And he gets in foul trouble.
That's right.
So he's on a different team with better perimeter defense. He might put up 3-4 block shots a game.
Exactly, and get more rebounds.
Get more rebounds.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Interesting analysis there. But, okay, back to the
phones already?
Back. We have a phone call? We sure do.
Oh,
Wayne,
yeah.
Welcome back to Red Blue Hoops. Go ahead, Wayne.
I'll tell you about that segment that segment you just gave Evan, you know, comparing Bam to Tim Duncan. I gotta admit that was a snooze fest.
Well, time out. He wasn't. Hey, the stats don't lie.
And a fellow UK fan said that Bam was overrated, and I took the time to dig into it. And
I know, but man, I mean, you lost me as soon as you started talking Tim Duncan in the same breath as Bam.
I hear you, really
going to go there?
Well, what happens is people forget that Tim Duncan was once a freshman himself.
He was.
Sure. I totally agree, but you know, let's give this kid a little more time. I think, you know, I think to make a statement that he's overrated, I don't really agree that he's overrated, but man, you start comparing with Tim Duncan. Oh,
it was a stat comparison.
Yeah. Freshman year.
I mean, Chad helped me out there. That was painful.
Oh, I think it was a pretty good
assessment. All right, man. I'll let you guys go with that. I tell you what, just so you guys know, Indiana has taken the lead.
Oh, we got the game on here in the studio, brother.
We do have
it on. 27-26. But, you know, I heard you guys talking about Newkirk earlier.
All-American.
And you know what? He looks like an All-American. And after you guys made that comment, man, he just got to hit a layup. He just had a turnover right afterwards. And so, that's what kills Indiana fans.
It is.
Watch him. And I have to say, tonight, Rob Johnson's turned the ball over just like he did against Wisconsin, Chad.
Read my Twitter handle. It just says simply, Robert Johnson is an awful ball handler. That's all I say on there. I don't understand it.
It's just amazing. It's just like, you know, but I kind of agree with Shooter. I think if Crean, and I think I've told you this, Chad, if Crean doesn't get this win here, and we don't get into the tournament this year, I think he's done. I think there's going to be a buyout. I think it's about $1 million.
Is that all it is?
Not until July 1st.
This is what it is. I mean, I think if you remember several years ago, 2 years ago, it would have been $12 million after July of that year. Now we're at a situation that after the season, I think in July of this year, it goes to $1 million.
Yeah, that can happen. Yeah, that's viable.
That actually could happen. And so I think what they could do is that basically get rid of him after the season and not make his buyout until July.
Wow.
Sure.
Well, that would happen.
I think
I'm pretty sure that's what they're going to do. I mean, if he doesn't win, and he is on the bubble. That's just all there is.
They are. As of right now, we are in the play-in game in bracketology. So.
I think Crean was smart in getting his contract date to be July and not April.
Oh, there's a reason why that happened.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, so, kudos to him.
That is.
Hey, Indiana up two.
Up two.
Yeah, hey,
shooting free throws.
We're actually up four now, so let's see what we can do. It's 30-26.
Oh, we got a delay. I bet he makes these free throws.
We're behind, yeah.
Okay. I bet you.
Yeah, you guys are behind. You're not. That's what I'm saying. You're a little behind here. I'm watching this live. So.
All right, brother.
30-26, and I just got the ball. There's about 4 minutes left, so. I mean, hey, Crean's job's on the line. There's no doubt about it.
I love it.
All right, see you guys.
Hey, thanks for calling in, Wayne. See you later, man.
Wow.
We got some loyal callers. Wayne's a big IU fan calling in during the game.
He's awesome.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
So, LSU game, folks. Everyone thought that was going to be the home medicine that we needed to bounce back.
That team's pretty bad.
That Cal used the term reboot. You know, in the years past, he's used the term tweak, and it worked beautifully in 2014. It led us from a season on the brink to the national title game that year. But he rebooted, and we come out against LSU, and we're playing decent. A lot of people say we're playing well. I disagree. I think we're just playing decent, up 18-4. We were up at the halftime, Walker, against LSU?
It's like 12, wasn't it? 16?
16 at half. But still, we had to leave after halftime to go to basketball practice for Walker. But even up 16, we were making a bunch of the same mistakes we've made the last month, and that is bad defense, letting straight line drives get to the rim, poor rebounding position, yada, yada, yada. So anyway, Kentucky ends up getting up 24, and then the last 8 minutes, man, they hit cruise control.
Yeah.
LSU hit 8 out of 10 threes in the second half. LSU scored 58 points the second half. They're the worst offensive team in the conference, so that's disturbing. I just can't even fathom how that happens. But Kentucky has allowed 50 or more points in four consecutive second halves. That's a bad trend.
Wow.
That's a bad trend.
Now, wait. You got to tell everybody the Monk story, too.
Oh, yeah.
This I got to hear that again.
This stat is absolutely mind-numbing. Malik Monk, one of the most elite athletes in college basketball, has played 77 consecutive minutes without a single rebound. I mean, how in the world does that happen, Berger?
Normally, when somebody has one rebound, I say they have one more than a dead man.
Yeah.
But when they have zero, are they a dead man?
I know.
Is that how that works?
And I said off the air, this is a – I don't know. Some people may debate, but back when I was maybe 20, 18 or 20, in good shape, I think even though I'm, 6'5 and maybe slower than some, I think I could get one rebound in 77 minutes of Division I play.
You could do it now. I'd bet on that.
No. Did you see number 45 for LSU the other night? Dude, when he came in, I about fell out of my chair. He looks like a guy that I used to play against at the YMCA back in the day. We played the 6 a.m. crew down there Monday, Wednesday, Fridays. That guy, where did he come from?
So was he? Would you say he's a non-traditional student? Is that how you?
He's totally a non. He scored 7 points against us. He's from the beer league in Milwaukee. Hey, back to
incredible.
The phone. Back to the phone lines. We got Johnny Versace. Go ahead, John.
Big Cat.
Hey, what's up, Johnny?
How's it going tonight?
Oh, it's going great. We're having a lot of fun here at Red Blue Hoops.
We are.
Hey, I was listening to your brother Lance there. It's good catching up with him in Lexington a couple weekends ago.
Oh, that's right. You guys did hook up. What game was that?
It was good to see him. That was the what game was that? That was
hold on. Come on, John.
Big win.
Were you there?
Yeah, I was there.
It was the South Carolina game.
South Carolina game.
That's a big win. They're the top-ranked team in the conference, and we beat them 85-69 while you were there.
I actually knew that. I just wanted to check and see if you did.
That's right. Nice.
See, John was my mentor when I worked at Old National Bank. He still tested me. See?
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
my
good.
Former boss. What do you have for us tonight, Versace?
So, back on the whole BAM discussion,
yeah.
I think you were on that, that text string that I was on today, and I had a conversation with a huge UK fan, coworker of mine, yesterday. And he's very tuned in to UK, but I said, hey, he was talking about BAM. I said, he's going to be a lottery pick. He said, no way he's going to be a lottery pick. I said, you got to understand. I said, you know this. I said, they draft on potential.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not on statistics. And I said, he has a tremendous upside for the NBA. So I'm standing by that. I think he'll be a lottery pick.
I'll agree with that, too.
I think if he can play a few more minutes per game the rest of the year, increase his rebounding, and be consistent in rebounding – he could sneak into maybe the 11 to 13 range of the lottery.
Right.
That's where I'm seeing it. And again, you heard my stats earlier. He's right there with Duncan and Davis. I know people laugh, but you have to compare freshman to freshman when you're doing this analysis.
He's 6'9", 260, right?
Yeah, and he can put his head on the rim.
Yes. I mean, the measurables are crazy.
Absolutely.
The one thing I think about with Davis is he was probably one of the most unselfish college players at the level and potential he was at.
He
could have loaded up some stats.
He took the fifth most shots on that team and was the number one pick in the draft. That's all you got to know about Davis.
Right.
Unselfish, you're right.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Yep.
So I was talking to your buddy Clay today.
Oh, Mr. Ewing.
As he was in route to the IU game today, and he said, are you going to call in there tonight? I said, if I get time, I will. And he said, well, would you give a shout-out, go Hoosiers? I said, are you kidding me?
That's hilarious.
Said, he goes, well, you ask Evan to do it.
My.
I said,
well,
right.
I tell you what, I'm not going to do that, but I will say at my office today with Indiana fans that work there, I predicted a Hoosier win tonight.
He did.
I predicted the Hoosiers would win. They're up 4 right now. So I predicted Kentucky losing by 10 to Florida last week, and they got spanked by 22.
You did. I know.
I did not feel like we had a chance of winning that game down there. Not a chance.
I knew when you texted that they were. You saw 10 points. I thought, oh man, Evan's not feeling good at all.
No, No. Our defense, oh, Purdue just put a nice little putback in there. So, John, you going to get home and watch the Indiana game, or you going to watch the Duke-Carolina game? Or are you going to – you're probably headed back to the bank to work, aren't you?
I'm heading back to the office right now.
Yeah, you're dedicated.
That's right. I love it.
Hey, you guys are doing a great job.
Hey, thanks, John, man. Very much. Really appreciate your support.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
See you, man. Bye. If I'm not mistaken, that's kind of like our boss because he's on the board here.
Is he?
Yeah, so you got to treat him with a little respect.
Seems like a pretty good dude.
I think we're going back to the phone lines, Berg.
Who we got?
This is Wayne, round two. Wayne, go ahead.
Is it?
Hey, round two. Hey, I heard you mention about, I think it was Monk having, was it one rebound? And was it 77 minutes?
No.
Zero.
Zero rebounds. It's 77.
Zero rebounds. Well, actually, now how tall is Monk?
He's about 6'3 and a half and can jump out of the gym.
I actually think, and Chad, you correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was either earlier this year, I'm pretty sure that Thomas Bryant, now not quite as bad as Monk, had about 3 or 4 rebounds, and I think it was about 70 minutes.
Against Michigan, he had 13 points and 1 rebound against Michigan. And my dad says you actually have to try at 6'10 to get 1 rebound, right? I mean,
not to get more.
I mean, exactly. I mean, it's impressive, right? Try not to get more. So, I don't know. It's embarrassing there.
I mean, I guess I could almost live with a guard. I mean, of course, you know, that's just unbelievable. 0 rebounds. But to be 6'10", and I'm pretty sure it was almost a 2-game period. I mean, I think he had about 3 rebounds. It was incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, so I just thought I'd throw that in there. Hey, I used up my 3, about a minute left and a half.
Thanks, Wayne.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. See you, bud.
Tell you what, folks, we'll go to break. We'll come back for our last segment, 812-426-7400, or tweet
at Red Blue Hoops.
Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from Nicholson, McNamara, Smith & Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors, dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. Information at 812-473-7336.
Red Blue Hoops fans, we're back on the air. I know the Indiana fans are tuning in the TV. They have us on the radio, maybe. Purdue takes a 3. Short rebound. Hey, tell you what. Since Kentucky's recent struggles, there have been certain fans in the Big Blue Nation that jump on social media or whatever you want, message boards, and they start talking about, you know, Cal Perry's lost the team, can't coach. We're tired of the one and done, yeah. All this stuff. And it is absolutely laughable, folks. Now, check this stat out. Coach Cal Perry has had 7 full seasons at UK. He's been to the Final Four 4 of those 7 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
He is one of only 3 coaches in the history of the game to have done that. John Wooden and Coach K at Duke. So
That's pretty good company.
Yeah, so my brother from Atlanta that called in, Lance, earlier, he sent me an email. He said some Virginia Cavalier fans are starting to chirp down there in the Atlanta ACC country that Virginia has a more sustainable program than Kentucky now.
Come on.
So,
I'm not a Kentucky fan, but that is a joke.
Check this out. Again, 4 Final Fours in the last 7 seasons. Virginia has been to a total of 2 in program history, the last of which was in 1984. I was a freaking 13-year-old in 8th grade. Are you kidding me? A more sustainable program. Okay, so my message there is for Kentucky fans, just chill out a little bit.
Yeah, chill out. I mean, come on.
I mean, think about the alternative. You could be an Indiana fan and not have a title since 87.
I knew that was coming.
Speaking of 87.
Segue. Yeah.
It's Chad's least favorite time of the show. This is the 1987 National Championship commemorative segment.
I do enjoy this, actually.
It is kind of interesting.
Movies. Yeah.
So we're back to the 1987 Top 20 Songs list for the year. Coming in at number 10. You're going to love this one, I think. This is probably on your playlist. Living on a Prayer, Bon Jovi.
That's a good family, family song there.
So Living on a Prayer, Bon Jovi. And then the next one, number 9, Shakedown by Bob Seger.
Shakedown's a good one,
too. One of the best songwriters in American music history. So going to the movie list, top 20, 1987. These are movies from 30 years ago, folks. Number 10, The Witches of Eastwick.
Heard of it.
Name the three stars of that movie. Anybody? Sam? Give it a try? Burger? There's three famous female movie stars that starred in that movie. Burger says Bette Midler. Okay, folks, that was Cher, Susan Sarandon, and one of my all-time...
I think I just said that one.
One of my all-time favorites, Michelle Pfeiffer.
What's interesting, Red Blue Hoops fans, is how Evan Beck knew that.
Well, I did some research.
Okay. I love it.
Knuckles on that one. And that movie grossed $63.7 million. Number 9, this one, I promise, everyone in the studio loves this movie, Lethal Weapon.
Lethal Weapon. That's
Mel Gibson. Danny. In fact, that's now a TV series show they've brought back. There's the 1987 commemorative segment for all the Hoosier fans out there.
Those songs and movies are getting better.
Is this a Twitter or is this a text? Twitter question came in here, Chad.
Uh-oh.
For both of us. This is from Jonathan J. Rock Grider, who resides in Russell Springs, Kentucky.
Okay.
That's where...
This is old J-Rock?
J-Rock.
Okay.
Which three teams do you not want to see in the tournament? Which three teams do you not want to see in the tournament?
You want to take that first?
I haven't even thought about it. I'm scared of seeing anybody. I'm scared of my shadow right now, the way Kentucky's defense is. I don't know.
I would have to say... On my end, Wisconsin is always because they play so...
See them in the tournament until the Elite Eight, though.
True.
So you guys won't see...
We thinking like early rounds or what do you...
Anybody. Yeah, I'd say anybody you're thinking about. I mean, it's a great question.
Louisville, make you play sloppy. Louisville. You know?
They have some injuries now. Louisville's been playing pretty well. They got beat by Virginia the other night pretty well, but... let me think about that. Probably Villanova would be one of my top picks.
That experience is tough there.
Yep. I think right now I would hate to have a rematch against Carolina. We played so well offensively that night. We put up 100 and some odd points, 103. I just don't think our defense right now – this is based on today.
Sure.
The way Kentucky is. I don't think we could hang with Carolina defensively right now, but my third team, I would want to see Florida again. I mean, they dominated us. So there's my three. Do you have any? You have Wisconsin? Any others?
Wisconsin, Kansas. I watched them with that guard play.
Yeah,
it's pretty tough. And then a team that I haven't seen a lot, but would cause Indiana all kinds of problems is West Virginia.
They make
you turn the
ball over.
Forgot
about West Virginia.
I mean, Indiana could have 30 turnovers in a game like
that. That's true.
So that would be tough.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
You know, some more data points for the UK fan base that are on Suicide Watch. You know, Cal Perry's had three previous teams at UK that have had 60%+ of the scoring production coming from the freshman class, which is also this year's team. And those previous three teams were the 2011, 2013, 2014 teams. 2011, we ended up going to the Final Four in Houston, lost to UConn.
Is that the Brandon Knight
team? That was the Brandon Knight squad. We could not win a road game that year in the SEC. The 2013 team was our NIT team. That's when Nerlens Noel went down in February to a knee injury, and that team was gonzo. We had no guard play. Our point guard, Ryan Harrow, was a no-show.
You got beat by my college buddy.
Robert Morris,
yeah.
That's right. That was NIT year. But the 14 year, folks, at the very end of the regular season, we played at South Carolina. We got steamrolled. Everyone, almost the entire fan base had written us off.
Yeah.
We went into the tournament unranked, an 8 seed, and went to the national title game.
That was Wichita State as the one.
Yes, right? They were undefeated that year. And it was one of the best runs in UK history. We beat undefeated Wichita State. We beat the much higher ranked and heavily favored Louisville team, the Sweet 16.
Yep.
And what people always forget is we lost a starter in the first half of the Louisville game of the Sweet 16. Willie Cauley-Stein broke his foot.
Really?
So the rest of that tournament run, we were without a starter, obviously a key starter.
Mm-hmm.
So then we beat Michigan in Elite Eight. Then we beat Wisconsin in the Final Four and lose to UConn in the finals.
Was that when Harrison kept hitting that shot from the 45? He did it like three or four times.
He hit a three from the corner against Louisville. He hit a three from the left wing against Michigan. He hit a three from almost the same spot against Wisconsin.
It was comical. You just knew it was coming.
Three straight threes from the same side of the floor.
Yeah, impressive.
That was an awesome, awesome tournament run for Kentucky for a team that was left for dead by most of Big Blue Nation. So just my point is, let's calm down, let Cal do his stuff. If he can get him playing defense, we still have a chance. We still have the pieces necessary to make a run.
Sure.
We definitely do, but there's no question we are disjointed right now. So, hey, Cal Barrett, he has to earn his paycheck now.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
So,
what did he say? Practice is going to be awful tomorrow.
That was my next quote.
Yeah.
You nailed it. Perfect segue. After the LSU game, little Kaylee Hartung from ESPN caught Coach Cal coming off the court there. That's when your emotions are the most raw, is right after you come off the court.
Sure.
He said this was back in the old days before the practice rules were in place. He would have his team on the court that night at 10 o'clock for a three-hour practice, but since that's against the current rules, he said, boys, tomorrow it's going to get with it, and if you want to quit, you can quit, but you're not going to Alabama. That's what we play this Saturday. So I think he laid it on the line Wednesday.
Wow.
I heard a former player today that was at the practice, and I wouldn't say he would give it a 10 out of 10, but he said it was definitely a different tone. Hey, I'm ready. Hey, if Monk's not going to rebound, bench him. Sure, he's offensively explosive, but you got to do your job on both ends of the court.
Yeah.
And I mean, from the fans' perspective, and UK fans are sick of losing, sick of how we're playing, but think how Kyle Perry feels. He's a defensive-minded coach, and we are terrible. Terrible defensively.
You know what's interesting? Our show covers Indiana and Kentucky, obviously. And both teams have had weird years. But you hit the nail on the head. Kentucky has the personnel, and I'll say that Indiana has the personnel as well. It's just about putting it all together.
Sure.
And you talked about there's been some teams that put it all together at the end, and maybe our teams could do that. How cool would that be?
Well, in 2014, after we got steamrolled at South Carolina – in fact, I think Cal got thrown out of that game, if I remember correctly. But
was that one guy refereeing? What's his name?
Roger Ayers. Maybe he was.
Yeah.
But Aaron Harrison said in the post-game press conference, I can't remember what the question was, but he said, our story has not been written yet.
Sure.
And that's, wow, what a cool statement. They turned things around. They came within one shot of winning the SEC tournament that year and then went on that tournament run that was for the ages. So, be patient, folks. Let's let the season play out. But this Saturday, we travel. Talk about upcoming games.
Yes.
We travel to Alabama, and Alabama just pulled off a huge upset, Chad, the other night. They went to South Carolina, the number one team in the conference, four overtime game, and Alabama won. That's a huge deal.
I saw that.
Because Alabama did us a favor. That throws us into a three-way tie, Florida, Bama, Kentucky, with two losses in the conference. So looking forward to that. And we carry a three-point shooting consecutive streak of 999 straight games with a three. So hopefully we'll get our 1,000th game this weekend at Alabama. And then while you're talking about your weekend game, go ahead.
Yeah, so Indiana plays Michigan at the Assembly Hall Sunday at noon. Noon tip, CBS, big game. Michigan actually just beat Michigan State the other night by 30 and put Michigan State in an awful territory.
Once again, Tom Izzo's top recruiting class in his history.
He's really struggling, man. Really struggling.
It's hard to coach.
It is hard. Hey, got another caller here.
Yeah, I was expecting this one tonight, and this is someone that I've been surprised that has been absent for the first three seasons of Red Blue Hoops. This is Todd Tucker. Todd, welcome to Red Blue Hoops. Go ahead.
Why, thank you, Evan. What a pleasure it is to talk to you tonight about one of my absolute favorite subjects, Kentucky basketball.
Nice.
Yes, sir. Bring it, Todd. Go ahead.
Well, no, I just, you know, the last thing I would want to do is in any way bring it or be, you know, impolite to you or certainly any Kentucky basketball fan. So, you know, I just thought I'd call in and see how your season is digressing. I mean, progressing along the
play on words there.
Well, we've actually covered a lot of that subject matter already in the show, Todd. If you're just tuning in late, I've been, extremely thorough.
Doesn't everybody tune in late to your show, Evan?
Actually, no. It's been a great show tonight. It's been a busy show. Yeah, you're actually our seventh caller tonight.
Yeah.
We've had some Twitter traffic tonight, Mr. Tucker. We appreciate your support. But, hey, Todd, can you name
this? There was a rerun of the Jeffersons on, or else I probably would have been tuned in a little earlier.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Todd, our intern Walker Beck has a question for you.
Yeah.
Can you name your current starting five for the Indiana Hoosiers?
Well, we could name our current starting five, but we actually have so many injuries right now, it's rotating.
So who started tonight's game, Tucker?
Yeah, I can name him. But I didn't call to discuss Indiana.
Oh, he
I like
got
this guy.
Walker
like
got him.
Walker did get him.
Don't try to turn the tables. I called to discuss Kentucky basketball. Why don't we just start out with the fact that Michael Buffer, a wrestling announcer,
that was awesome.
The introduction. Wasn't that just terrific?
It was. that was actually so cool.
Isn't that what college athletics is all about?
It is. They had the eight national title trophies and spotlights and Buffer there at the microphone. It was an awesome atmosphere. Oh, yeah,
that's terrific, and I think that's what most really true sporting fans would think. That man, because you've seen everybody else do that as well, right?
Well, we do set the attendance record every year, and all the people there really enjoyed it. So the proof is in the pudding, Tucker. I tell you what.
I don't doubt that all the people that were at Rupp really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Hey, Tucker, wrap up. We've got to go in 15 seconds.
I definitely get that.
Hey, Todd, wrap up. 15 seconds. You have anything else for us?
No, I just hope that, as I said, that the one and done, you know, teams that Coach Cal has doesn't really translate into one and done once the tournament starts this year, which is altogether likely. And I feel bad about the current slide. I really do. So,
okay. Todd, we got to go to a hard break. We appreciate the call. Folks, appreciate your support of Red Blue Hoops. We'll be back next week. Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers. Beat Purdue.
Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from Nicholson, McNamara, Smith & Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors, dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. Information at 812-473-7336. Red Blue Hoops is a production of WNIN Tri-State Public Media. The executive producer is Brad Kimmel. Steve Berger is the producer. The technical director is Samantha Horton. The opinions in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of WNIN staff or board of directors, or, for that matter, Purdue fans, Evansville fans, USI fans, Louisville fans, and certainly not Duke fans.